All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a special extra episode of H10 here, and this one involves an interview with a fan around the world. And we talked with a guy named Peter Gibson down in Sydney, Australia. I chatted with him a couple weeks ago on Skype, and so some of what we talk about in this interview is not fresh and up to date, but most of it is relevant to Peter Gibson himself, his past with the team, and also we talk a lot about what is going on in the offseason and what we hope for in 2016. So let's give this interview a listen, Wizzo, and we'll talk about it afterwards. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on H10, our first overseas fan from around the world is Peter Gibson, and we are talking to him all the way out in Sydney, Australia. Peter, how are you doing?
Hey there, Trent. How are you going?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I'm glad to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, not a problem, not a problem. Anything for a fellow Hartshin fan.
Well, you know, Peter, we got to know each other kind of through my website. I don't know how you discovered me, but you stumbled upon the site and left some really kind comments. And the more that I talked to you, the more I realized this is a fan that I can learn a lot from. And so I really wanted to get to know you better as a fellow Hartshin Tigers fan.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting fraternity, and it's become very much a big part of my life over the last 30 years. I suppose that every foreigner that gets involved with Japan has different stories about how they enjoy Japan and what different parts of Japan. And certainly for me, the Hartshin Tigers has probably been the most incredible experience I've had as far as Japan is concerned, and really forms a very strong part of my connection with the country.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you got to know the Hartshin Tigers? When was it? How was it? Like, what was your life situation at that time?
Good question. So the year's 1985. I've been to Japan for the first time. I stumbled across Japan because I was a budding professional tennis player in that time. And I realized that once I came out of college here or high school here in Australia, I did want to pursue a professional career, but I wasn't good enough for the European circuit. I wasn't good enough for the American circuit, so I thought I would give the Asian circuit a go. And I played a couple of tournaments in Asia, and then I played a tournament in Japan and arrived at what was then the Itami Kuko, which is the airport there in Osaka, before the Kansai International Airport. And a friend of mine who was at the tournament, he said, let's go to Koshin. And this was day three, so I spoke no Japanese. I knew nothing about Japan. And you got to realize too, Trev, that baseball doesn't really have a cultural place in Australia like it does in the United States and or in Canada for or North America for that matter. So I didn't know the rules. I didn't know who was playing even. But my friend said, let's go to Koshin. And he took me out there, and we are in the right stands, and being an Australian, we like our beer, and once I saw that the beer girls and the kegs on their back, I was pretty much sold. And one of the things that really impressed me was the experience of that. Now, you can't always control what happens on the diamond. I think that's important to understand, but you can control what the experience is in the stands. And the Hartshin Tigers fans, like no other fans on earth, and I've been to a lot. I ran a corporate hospitality sports company for 4 years, and I've been to nearly every big sporting event around the globe. And still, Koshien is the best experience as far as watching a sport is concerned.
Wow!
And to be quite honest with you, there's a saying in Japanese, "Aitsura ori ni ao." And that was basically translated straight across to that these are my people. These were sort of my people. I got on well with them. They weren't highbrow. We're not a highbrow type of club. We don't profess to be. We're working class club. And the people in right stands, in the bleachers. I got on with them really, really well right from the get-go, and that was 30 years. And here I am 30 years later. In Sydney, trying to get to Japan as much as I possibly can, and divorce is getting closer because I now can stream the games just about every night.
Yikes. Wow. So you've been a fan since 85. That means that you went to your first game of the year that they won the big, you know, the Nippon Ichi, the championship. Do you have a favorite player off of that team?
Oh, gosh. You know, man, you can't go obviously past the superhero of that time, which was Randy Bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number 44. He really carried that team through. Don't get me wrong, you got Mayumi there, Okada, Kakifu, all these guys who were just playing some really good ball. But Bass, there was a certain, if you watch that particular year, it sort of ebbed and flowed on when his bat went on fire.
Mm.
So Randy's probably my favourite of that period of time. And then, you know, you just go through a litany of players throughout the years, etc. You know, 2003, if somebody said to me that we were going to win the Central League the year before that, you know, I would have said you're crazy because, look, you know, and then Seiichi Hoshino comes in there, gets the team that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my favourite player, just to divert a little bit at that particular time, sure. This little guy by the name of Akahoshi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the speedster.
You know, Akahoshi, most stolen bases in that season. Just a guy who just really punched above his weight, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, great player. It's really a shame that his career ended as early as it did, but, you know, also understandable given his health situation.
Yeah,
Now, Peter, I'm assuming you still follow the team somewhat now. Do you have a favorite player from the 2015 Tigers or from more recent eras?
I think Matt's done a great job. As I think we just mentioned before, Merton came to Japan 6 years ago. Was really green, didn't understand the culture. And, you know, there's a lot of players you've got to understand. If you go back through all of the foreign players, not just for Hanshin, but also for all the players that have played in some of the other ball clubs,
mm-hmm.
There are certain types of foreigners who work and do well in Japan, and there are others who can completely fail. And Matt was one of those ones where he got in there and he really embraced the culture of Japanese baseball and what it was all about, in particular the culture of the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some simple rules that they follow, you know, if you're going to do it right. Sometimes ball players have come over to play with the Tigers and they've felt that they're taking a step down in their career.
Right.
You know, they're going in to play baseball in Japan, which they don't play. And it is baseball intrinsically is a different game in Japan. The culture is very different. The coaching is different. Everything. You know, even the strategies that they employ in the games, etc., it's very, very different. And we could talk about that for ages. But
sure, yeah.
I think recently Matt's done great work for the ball club. Look, I'm really excited to see a few guys coming through from the Nigun. And I think one of the things that's going to be key for next year is going to be the relationship between Kanemoto and Kakifu.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And as you know, you've got the senpai kohai, or the older brother, younger brother thing in Japan.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting one because there's Kakifu, who's quite the older senior to Kanemoto, and he's coaching the Nigun. But I think Kakifu's got a really good handle on producing good players out of the second team, out of the farm team.
Certainly hope so. Is there anyone that you you think we should keep our eyes on from that team?
Oh, Egoshi's good. Yeah. I really want to see how Umino goes. Next year. You know, I think he's batting well. I think he's got some really good hands. And I think he could actually, you know, go play really well. Then you've got, you know, Yamato's, I think, coming into the infield. Is he not, or how? Do you think he'll still be staying in outfield?
My understanding is that he, Uemoto, and Nishioka, all three of them are fighting for that second base spot. Because first, short, and third are more or less cemented in, or at least not playable by those three. And then the ones that don't get second will end up fighting for an outfield spot, is my understanding. So it's really hard to say at this point. I'm really interested in how that's going to play out in spring training for sure, you know, because Nishioka's coming off the injury and, you know, he's got a lot of experience and he's also got the big name. But, you know, you've also got Uemoto, who's played more time there than anyone else the last two seasons, and then Yamato.
And he hasn't done a lot wrong there, has he?
Uemoto, well, in the field, he kind of has. I mean, like, he led the league in errors, I think, in 2014. And then last year, he had a couple of real bad games. But overall, I think he was on his way up when he got injured last year. I really think he was starting to come into his own on the field. So, you know, he's got a good chance as well. And then Yamato just came in and sparkled. I think he made one bad play all, you know, I think he played 30-plus games at second base. And he had one bad play where he stepped off the base too soon on a throw to second. And so the runner was called safe. And that was it. But his fielding was impeccable. So
he owned that center field spot. There's some plays there that he's made over the last 2 years that have just been incredible.
Oh, you look at the plays that he made and you go, nobody else would have made it to that ball. No one else would have, you know, no one else would have made the catch.
He reads it beautifully.
Yeah. He's indispensable. We just need to get his bat going, right?
Yeah. So funnily enough, having said that, you'll find this interesting. I actually play in the Japanese Baseball League here in Sydney. We have four teams, all Japanese. I'm the only Australian that's actually playing in this league, and this is Australia.
That's amazing.
So our team is called Go Kyukai, which is Go is for Australia, Q for the baseball, and Kai team. And I tell you what, I've been playing some left field at the moment, and I can't get to anything anymore, and I certainly can't read like I used to.
Wow.
You know, it gets into your blood, it gets into your skin. I've never, ever heard of anybody, of any foreigner going to a Hanshin Tigers game and walking away from that and going, geez, I didn't enjoy that.
That's totally true. Same with me.
It is one hell of an experience. And I love, when I go to the games, I love seeing some of the other foreigners there. And as you said before, you know, find out if anybody there is hardcore, been doing it for a while, or it's their first experience at a Japanese baseball game. And you just give them a little bit of an understanding of the culture of the Tigers and the people of the Tigers, etc. And they really have a great time. It displays a lot of the same qualities and characteristics of the Japanese culture.
Sure, and it does, yeah.
My last trip in July, I was up there for 10 days. I was fortunate enough to get in 8 games in 10 days, which I thought was a pretty good effort.
That's impressive.
Two games at Koshien, then went on the new bullet train across the north there, the Hokuriku, and ended up, I did 3 games at Jingu and then 3 games at Yokohama Stadium.
Nice ballparks to be at.
Yeah. No, they were great. I mean, there's no complaints about any of the services or anything like that at Japanese ballparks.
For sure. So you were at those 8 games. Did you go to any other games last year? Or, like, what's an average year for you as far as baseball attendance in Japan?
Depending on work and getting over there, I'll try and make as many excuses as I possibly can to get over. And if I'm there 4 times a year, I'll probably on average see at least about 3 or 4 games each time that I'm over. There's no doubt that my work schedule is adjusted around the game schedule, not the other way around.
Good that you can do that.
Yeah, and if it's pre-season, I'll try to get down to places like Kochi and Shikoku. I travelled 6 hours only to get there, and we had a rain out. But that doesn't stop Hanshin fans. You've got to understand that we're Hanshin fans are used to losing. We're used to, you know, when you consider that what we call the 1990s was the dark ages for us.
Yeah.
And we spent the entire decade of the 1990s in 5th and 6th position. And there's a saying that the Japanese Hanshin Tigers have, or the fans have, you know, we're sort of really, we almost like losing. We almost love there's this sort of...
Lovable losers almost, right?
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit of a masochistic nature, and I do once in my lifetime want to see the Tigers win the national championship, but I think they should probably declare a state of emergency if that's the case.
Well, they're going to have to bring in a whole lot of cops into the, you know, extra security and police into the Kansai area from all across Japan if that happens. But then again, you know, the celebrations will take place nationwide because, really, I mean, this is a Tigers nation, even though...
Yeah, you're so true.
You know, even though the Giants are the national team, so to speak, I mean, I think there's more Tigers fans and definitely more hardcore Tigers fans across the whole country than there are any other team.
Absolutely. And one of the great things that you've done, Trev, with H10 is being able to bring a give people an opportunity, a conduit or a vehicle to be able to share their passion with other people. Now, I've been a fan for 30 years and nothing's going to change. I'm not one of these people who will swap over to another ball club because the Tigers are losing. You know, it is what we is. We're in it till we die.
Yeah.
And you know, to give us the opportunity to actually share this passion with other like-minded individuals, you know, that's the first time I've been able to do that in 30 years. And, you know, my next trip to Japan is my 58th trip there over this period of time. And, you know, I go everywhere in Japan, and I can guarantee that it doesn't matter whether you go anywhere. If you just search, you know, where do Tigers fans hang out? You know, I'm in Kanazawa last time, and there's this little Oden shop, you know, the Japanese stew shop.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Hanshin Tigers fan club there in that little one, and there's population bugger all.
Mm-hmm.
But I walk in there and I've got my Australian Hanshin Tigers fan club T-shirt on, and all of a sudden the walls are broken down. You know, everybody's just family then because you've got that same passion. And Tigers fans get it. If I want to follow a club that's going to win all the time, I'd probably go and follow the Giants. But if I did follow the Giants, I'd have to kill myself.
Well, there's certainly something to be said about, you know, the special joy that, you know, the occasional championship brings. And it's not that Tigers fans want the team to only win once a decade or once every two decades or whatever. But, I mean, there's just that much more joy surrounding the celebration and all that kind of stuff. And it brings the community together that much more than just like, well, another year, another championship, you know, so.
Yeah, look, I think you're right because, you know, we treat it as the treasure that it really is. And, you know, I was there in 2003. I was there in 2005, 2007. You know, the time we got belted by Bobby Valentine's team, you know, the Marines out of
Chiba.
Out of Chiba, and I was there at that time when they called the game with the fog that rolled into the stadium.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's most of my friends throughout Japan who are in the different Tigers. You know, you've got the Hanshin Tigers fan club in Hiroshima, which is the Hiroshima section of a national fan club. So every single area of Japan has pockets of these very highly organized, as you would know, very highly organized groups who have, it'll be the Kyushu fan club I'm friends with at the moment, the guys out of Fukuoka.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got the winningest baseball team at the moment right on their back door. And they've got a hardcore group of Hanshin Tigers fans who are living in Fukuoka, and they're the best. They're a great bunch of guys. And, you know, I should spend more time on the statistics. I love the game, but I spend a lot of time talking about Hanshin Tigers at the Hanshin Tigers izakayas or bars that are scattered around the country.
Nice. Well, you know, just getting back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, the website and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to build a Hanshin Tigers fan base or a T-Ray fan base per se. I'm just trying to help the community come together and give the English-speaking community a chance to catch up with the Japanese people and be able to say, oh, I know all the players on the team, or I know the stories that are going on around the Tigers because I'm able to read them finally. You know, and that's a big thing to me. So I'm glad to be able to play a part in that. But interestingly, Peter, I've also discovered over the past year that there are Hanshin Tigers fan clubs around the world, not just all across Japan. But I was watching TV the other day, and they have this show where they go to different overseas locations and they try to invite people to explain why they should be given a ticket to go back to Japan. And so the reason I watched the show is one of my friends is on it, and he's a blacksmith, and he learned traditional Japanese blacksmith ism. I don't know how to become a blacksmith via YouTube. But he really wants to come to Japan and actually see the actual places where, you know, they do all their work. Well, anyways, another guy on the show, a fellow from Toronto, Canada, he's a professional jazz pianist, and he said he's part of the Hanshin Tigers fan club in Toronto.
So I looked it up, and sure enough, I mean, it's all in Japanese. I mean, because I think it's Japanese people that have been, you know, placed there on business or whatever. But there's a fan club in Toronto. There's one in Vancouver. And then I was reading Okada's book a couple months ago, and he was talking about the one in Dubai, I think it was, or somewhere in the Middle East, where he had a he had spent a couple days there. And he said that the fan club there invited him to speak at their dinner. And they were excited because they said, this is the first, you know, former Tiger that's ever been in our club. But, you know, it's just really cool that all around the world, there really are pockets of fans everywhere. So it's just really exciting.
There is, you know, we had a Japanese festival in Sydney, Darling Harbour, a really cool area just by the harbour here, mm-hmm. not too far from the Opera House. And we had a Japanese festival there. So I've got my Australian Hanshin Tigers t-shirt on, and I've got my Hanshin Tigers happy on, etc. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking past, there's another Australian guy there with a Hanshin Tigers cap on, and I've gone, dude, how you going? So what we're going to do is we'll start, there's only a pocket full of us at the moment, mm-hmm. non-Japanese, but we've got about sort of, you know, 6 to 7, you know, hardcore fans here that we just get together every now and again. We'll probably do it maybe once a month, mm-hmm. At the moment, and just bringing people together. But you do need that conduit. You are providing that conduit. That's a really important thing because, look, let's face it, there's a lot of things in Japan that, you know, they won't, the Tigers have no necessity to do any of their fan club or any of their information or anything in English. It's no real necessity. You know, when you're putting 3 million people through the gates there at Koshien Stadium a year, you know, it's arguably one of the most successful sporting franchises in the world. And so, I wish we could emulate that with the scores on the park, but yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, there's no real necessity for them to open it up, and having you there to actually open up some of that information to the non-Japanese speaking fans all around the world is a crucial part. And I thank you for that, mate, because it's really good to get that info.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And, you know, it's been really cool that on the H10 group on Facebook, people have been faithfully posting the links to some of the streamings of the games, and I'm assuming that you're taking advantage of that down in Sydney.
Yes, absolutely. So it's really convenient for me because in the middle of the season, the time difference is only 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got, you know, Sydney time, so play ball will be at 6 and, you know, it'll be kick-off here at 7. So during the season, my family doesn't see a lot of me. You know, I'll just be watching the game and trying to get as much in. You know, I'll watch probably 2 to 3 games a week at that time if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just something that you sort of, as I said before, I mean, it's very difficult. There's that saying in Japanese, akiramitai kedo akiramenai.
Yeah.
And you sort of said, you want to give it up, but you just can't.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely true.
It's just one of those things that, you know, it's just been a part of me, and I'm glad I did it. Glad I did it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, wonderful. Well, okay, Peter, we're going to wrap things up here real quick, but I just have one more question for you, and that is, what do you see in the future for the Hanshin Tigers, particularly 2016? How do you think things will go under new manager Kanemoto? Where do you think the Tigers will finish in the standings next season?
Look, I'd love to say we'd finish on top, but I truly believe we're going to finish second.
Okay.
I think we'll finish second. But I think, you know, I believe they're going to be starting Kyuji, are they?
That's a good possibility, but then with the scandals around Sung-hwan Oh, you
then
know.
You've got Oh So-fan, you know, there's going to be an interesting there, what happens there.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so look, you know, I think we're going to struggle with a little bit of depth in our pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be, I don't think, I want to see how Matt Haig starts to get used to the Japanese strike zone and the Japanese style of pitching.
Sure, yeah.
Hopefully he can really have a really good season with the bat. Gomez, I think, will have a good season.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll go really well. You know, I think we'll probably finish about second. Unfortunately, I just can't see anybody knocking off the SoftBank Hawks at the moment. They're just so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I may have heard that, but their first baseman, Lee, the Korean player, I think he may have headed off to the majors. Is that correct? Do you know that?
I read a report recently saying that he himself said that there are four or five MLB clubs interested in his services. So I would say there's a good chance he'll be gone. I also read today that the Milwaukee Brewers might be interested in signing their third baseman, Matsuda. So if the Hawks lose those two big cogs, I mean, I know they've got tremendous depth, both in their pitching and their hitting. But
guys like Akiyama and those guys have just been so strong.
Yeah, yeah. So they're
they've got so many in that lineup that are just go-to players. But look, in answer to your question, I think we'll finish about second. I think we'll do really well. I think Kanemoto is going to bring a completely different culture, to the team than we've had up until now. I think he's got a slightly more, although he's going to be really tough, and he has been tough, and he's shown that he's going to be tough on the guys right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a lot more modern, flexible thinking in his baseball culture and strategies than we've had up until now. And I hope that's the case. I really do. I hope that's the case. I think it'll be a slightly more lighter feel to the team. And I hope hopefully he can bring the team together as a real team. Torii Tani's really got to step up a bit as captain.
If
he is going to take up that role, because I think he's almost withdrawn into himself sometimes throughout that last season, which I'd like to see him come out a little bit more, and especially mentor the younger players coming through and build some cohesion and culture within the team. Because, you know, 144 games, you know, you say that to an Australian down here, that they play 144 games and they literally fall over here. They just can't believe that a sports team can play that many games in a season. And I said, you know, that's a long time together. So if you don't have a good culture in the team and you're not having a hell of a lot of fun, it can be, you know, starting from a pretty low bar. So hopefully Kanemoto can actually change that, or not change that, but actually improve upon that.
Sure. Well, it's been nice to see that Kanemoto recognizes that as well. And I mean, he mentioned that almost, you know, within the first week of his thing. Was, you know, like, Torii Tani's got to step up as captain and has got to be a bit more vocal. He's got to bring this team together, because if he doesn't change his ways, the team itself is not going to change either. So, I definitely think that is one of the huge keys to the Tigers' success in 2016 is the unity. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because last year the slogan was go for the top as one. And yet that team, you know, as much as even the media, anytime they ask the players these questions in interviews or in hero interviews, like, you know, okay, so, you know, you guys have all got to come together as one, right? And the players all say, oh yeah, absolutely. We've got to really, you know, bond together, because no one player can win the championship on his own. And yet you just didn't see it in the clubhouse. You didn't really see it on the field that much. It just didn't look like they were having fun or enjoying each other. So, and I don't know if that was, you know, I don't want to throw that all on WADA, but certainly management does play a role in that. And the thing I like about Kanemoto is, even though he played for the Tigers for 10 full seasons, he also played for another organization for, I think it was 11 seasons before that. So he's got some outside thinking as well as the knowledge of the Tiger way. And I think that's going to bring the flexibility that you were talking about, that he's not going to insist on doing things the way the old guys did, you know, because if you look back at the other managers between Hoshino and Kanemoto, they were all guys from the 85 team, right?
That's right.
You had Okada, Mayumi, and Wada.
Yeah, and that's been one of the, you know, it's a conversation we could go on forever about the culture and in many ways the antiquated culture of the Hanshin Tigers Ball Club.
Sure.
Over the years, and they certainly have not embraced a more flexible thinking, or even a different mindset. So, like some of the more successful ball clubs have, you know, I mean, you look the first time when Rakuten won their title, I think that was 2013.
Yeah,
and then you've also got Bobby Valentine going over to the Marines there and having a fantastic run there. So that way of thinking, which is synonymous with the Tigers Ball Club, is going to take some time to change. But I think Kanemoto's signing in that position as manager has been one of the best things I think that's happened for a long, long time.
For sure. Definitely. All right, Peter, we'll wrap things up here. But once again, thank you so much for joining us on the show. it's great talking to you, and I can really sense that you've got both a passion and a deep knowledge of the team, not only history, but even, you know, trends in the current game. So it was fun chatting with you. And, you know, the next time you're in town, make sure you look me up, because we got to take in a game together and maybe have a drink or two after the game.
Absolutely. And if anybody is out there and they happen to be in Sydney, et cetera, I've got a couple of little Japanese haunts over here that we can have a beer and talk Tigers. And we've got a few Tigers fans. There's one in particular right in the middle of the city here in Sydney called the Osaka Bar, of all things.
Hmm.
And the boss there is a mad Hanshin Tigers fan, so he's a good guy. And just remember, there's just one thing, whether you speak Japanese or you don't speak Japanese, just remember the one thing, which is kattemo makitemo tore inochi, which is win or lose, Tigers life.
Yeah, for sure. And you definitely display that, and we appreciate it. All right, Peter, take care. Have a great off-season. We'll talk again soon.
Great talking to you, Trev, and we'll stay in touch. And next time in Kobe, a beautiful city, one of my favorites, the harbor city of Kobe. I'll catch you up for a beer and a game.
Sounds great, buddy.
See you, mate.
Take care.
All right, so that was the interview there, Wizzo. I mean, it was a good long 30 minutes, but what did you think? Do you have any impressions about the interview or about Peter or anything?
Well, I mean, based off, you know, listening to the interview, you know, you can tell Peter is a diehard Tigers fan, which, you know, most of us are. And he's down in Australia. Honestly, before him, I can't even think of any Australians, you know, that are Hanshin Tiger fans. And honestly, I didn't think there were Hanshin Tiger fans down in Australia to be, you know, it's, you don't think about that when you talk about the Hanshin Tigers. You're just thinking about Japan mainly.
Yeah, for sure. Or even America, like people, I know there's a lot of people in America that are interested in Japanese ball because of players coming over to America from Japan or vice versa, players from America coming to Japan, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Like Tony Barnett, it's kind of odd, you know, to kind of see him, you know, with the Texas Rangers now. And it's just like, man, he was just here in Japan and now he's over there. So, but yeah, Peter, he dished out a lot of good information right there. And I liked how he feels that wherever he goes, Japan, Australia, you know, you find these little pockets of fan clubs. You know, you walk in there with your Hanshin Tiger shirt on and all of a sudden, you know, you're like part of that group. And you never even knew it existed. It's been there the whole time, but it wasn't until you became a fan that you realized, you know, that you're part of a group that's right there in your backyard. And that's pretty cool.
And you don't even think about the Hanshin Tigers logo or whatever as being recognized worldwide or recognized, you know, in various circles or whatever. But somebody pointed this out to us on the H10 site probably about 6 to 8 months ago. Bon Jovi shot a video for a song. I think it was called Born to Be My Baby. And their keyboardist, I think his name's David Bryan. Or Brian David? It's David Bryan, sorry. He was wearing a Hanshin Tigers hat in the video. How cool is that? And so, yeah, definitely, I mean, there's fans everywhere. There's people that recognize the Tigers in places where you least expect it. Certainly Australia is one of those places. But just to piggyback on what you said, as someone who's running a website, you know, I get kind of an insight into the stats of how many hits I'm getting per day and all that kind of stuff. And it shows me which countries are hitting my website as well. And so I was surprised to see a lot of Australia early on when my numbers were really low. You know, I was getting, of course, Japan. I was getting a lot of Canada simply because my people were looking at it because they were wondering what T-Ray is doing on the web now. But Australia, what's going on there? How come I'm getting so many hits from Australia? And probably it was all Peter.
You never know. I mean, like I said, pockets of these little fan clubs, you know, all over the place in Australia. I mean, it's like for me, I want to go to Osaka because I saw a TV show, you know, they're showing different ramen shops and this camera walked right into a Hanshin Tigers bar. And I mean, wall to wall, ceiling to floor, covered in Hanshin Tigers. So you never know until you get out there and explore, obviously. But, you know, it is pretty neat. Like you said, most, it's a recognizable symbol. At one point, Andre the Giant, the WWE wrestler, was one of the most recognizable symbols in the world. So as mm-hmm. our fan base continues to grow, which I think it will, you know, the TH or maybe the Tigers logo itself will one day be that most recognizable symbol. Who knows, you know?
Could very well be. Yeah, certainly. So yeah, Peter's the kind of guy I think that probably checks out a lot of the a lot of those kind of bars, like whether it's in Osaka or elsewhere, wherever he goes. I mean, he's the one that's finding all these different places where the hardcore fans or the businessmen have created businesses that are Hanshin Tigers themed. That's really cool. But let's talk a little bit more about Peter himself and how he's been a fan for over 30 years now. He said he went to his first game in 1985, the year of the big Japanese championship. But interestingly is how he came over to Japan. And I never knew this about Peter, even though I've been talking to him for about a year now. You know, he was a professional tennis player. And that's how he got over to Japan in the first place. And that's really cool. I mean, so he's obviously a sportsman, you know, like it's in his blood, something that interests him. But, you know, so from his interest initially in tennis, and I think he's a real hardcore rugby fan as well, right? Baseball just captured his heart, and particularly Hanshin Tigers baseball. So that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's our fans and our fan base and the environment. You know what I mean? We've talked about this numerous times before. The environment that Osaka has for baseball is just dedicated. You know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and the Steelers fan base, very similar to Hanshin. It's like we are dedicated. No matter what, we could be 0-25, you know, 0-25 Hanshin Tigers, but we're still going to the games. We're still cheering them on. We're probably yelling at them, but yeah, it's pretty neat. And you know how big Japan is on sports too, especially, you know, tennis, soccer, you know, rugby is now becoming big, you know, bigger than what it was. So yeah, it's pretty neat how one thing just leads to another. And before you know it, it's like, wait a minute, you're a Tigers fan? Oh, so am I. And there you go. There's that connection.
Well, and with Peter, you know, he became a fan in 85 and the team won the championship. And I can't give you all the exact numbers, but the following year they finished third. The following year after that, they finished sixth, and they went into a real tailspin for 18 years. And Peter was a fan through the whole thing. So like you said, it doesn't matter if they're on top or if they're in the middle or if they've bottomed out. Hanshin Tigers fans remain fans for life. And so Peter talked about being a Randy Bass fan. That's understandable. He was the team MVP. He was the league MVP. He won the Triple Crown a couple times. And he's a great guy. And then he talked about the middle years or the comeback year when they won the championship in 2003. And this is kind of what struck me. And I didn't actually confirm this with Peter himself, but he said that he was a big Akahoshi fan, which is great. You know, I mean, he's a fast player, an exciting player who stole bases like crazy. He won the stolen base championship or crown five seasons running. But you'd think that an Australian's favorite baseball player on the Hanshin Tigers would be the Australian Jeff Williams, and yet it wasn't. So that was kind of interesting, I thought.
Ah, Jeff Williams. I didn't know Jeff Williams was Australian.
Yeah, he's Australian, and now I believe he's in America scouting for the Hanshin Tigers. So he's scouting these new guys that we're bringing in, and we're going to talk about them in the other half of the show. But yeah, it's just kind of cool that Williams, you know, came from Australia and made a big name for himself, made a big name for Australian baseball, and now he's still connected with the team. But like I said, interesting that Peter chose a different player as his favorite, but you know, to each his own. But, you know, he did choose Bass as his favorite early on, and then he chose Matt Merton as his favorite in recent years. So he was choosing imports. And the middle years, he chose a Japanese guy where he could have chosen one of his own countrymen.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even for me, you know, Matt Merton was with the Hanshin Tigers, and as much as I like watching him play, I like Toritani. You know, Toritani or now O. I'm not even, like, in my own country. You know, so, yeah, like you said, to each his own. Whatever. Whichever you like, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, hey, you know, Peter comes to games often, as he said in the interview, that in one 10-day stretch, he went to 8 games, and he said that he schedules his business trips around the Hanshin Tigers baseball schedule, which, man, what a privilege to be able to do that. But clearly it shows his dedication to the team, and so what that means is that he's going to be coming back in 2016 to several games, I hope. And I'm looking forward to meeting him in person because I still haven't. And hopefully, Wizzo, if you're in town, when he's in town, we can all take in a game together and, you know, just live it up after the game or before the game or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I just told Sophie yesterday. I told my daughter. I said, Sophie, I said, this year we're going to go to a lot more Hanshin Tigers games. you know, I said I want to go to at least 8 or 9, you know, just, you know, my last full year here. And so I'm like, man, I got to get out there and enjoy more games. You know, I like the environment. I, you know, going there and just the way Japanese baseball is. So, yeah, it'd be great if we could all meet up. I mean, anybody listening or anybody on the page, more than welcome to join us. I think it'd be a great time. If, even if it's one time, it'd be a great time.
You know, I was talking to somebody else on the page, and I'm going to get a name, and I'm gonna make him follow up on his word, but he was mentioning that he may be able to get kind of a package of tickets or a group of tickets where maybe 8 or 10 people could sit together at a game. And I think it would be great to make that available to the H10 crew and make it an all H10 viewing audience, you know, right at the stadium. So hopefully Peter will be in town when we do that. That'd be great.
Yeah. You said a privilege that he has, man. It'd be great if I could schedule all my trips around the Hanshin Tigers baseball season. That'd be awesome. But yeah, I'm available anytime. You know, I can always make my way up there and bring the train back. So yeah, hopefully we can get something together. That'd be awesome.
Excellent. Well, once again, Peter, thank you so much for joining me on the show and taking the time to do a little interview session with me. You know, you are an inspiration to Hanshin Tigers fans. I would love to be able to put up a picture of you in your Hanshin gear on the website. I think I might do that as long as I've got your permission. But I look forward to talking to you again, buddy. And next time you're in town, for sure, look me up. We are definitely going to go out together and do a lot more Tigers talk. In the meantime, I think next month I've already got somebody on schedule to be another Hanshin Tigers fan around the world guest. And so you can look forward to that, everybody. We will catch you next time. Thanks, Wizzo, for joining me on this special edition of H10. And we'll be back in just a second with the regular episode.